We're going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at a few verses, probably some of the shortest scriptures in the Bible, but yet they are probably some of the most powerful if we can get them down in our spirit. Paul describes the ideal church, a happy church, a praying church, a thankful church. Amen. And I hope we fit that description. Let's look at the scripture here today, starting in 1 Thessalonians 5, starting with verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And do not quench the Spirit. Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus, God, that you will just enlighten our hearts, Lord. I pray that you will just speak to us here today. That, God, if there is an area that one of these three things that is not evident in our life, within our church, we're just asking, God, that you just breathe life. Breathe life in us this morning. Just illuminate something in our spirit, Lord, and give us the tenacity and the desire, Lord, to move forward, Lord, to allow these things to happen within us and our church. And when everybody said, amen. So Paul gives these commands. Yes, they are commands. They are imperatives. And we talked about what imperatives were last week. We talked about there are things that are important. There are things that are priorities or things that we need to do. And of course, Paul's not speaking in line with judgment here. It's not one of these things that you do it or you die things. But this is something that he's saying, this is what is desired. This is in your best interest as an individual and as a church, if we will do these things. Because these commands are written in the plural form, they deal with both us as individuals, but they also deal as us as a whole, as a church. And how many know that the church is people, right? It's not a service, it's not a building, but we are the people of God. We are the church. And as you noticed on that scripture that I highlighted a few words, always, continually, all, because this is God's will for us. For every single one of us that are here this morning, this is God's will for you. You may not know the plan that God has for you, the overall scope of where you work in the ministry, in the kingdom of God, but this is something that you can do. We can allow the Spirit of God. We can rejoice. We can pray. And we can give thanks. Amen? Amen. All right. So this is something that we should be doing on a regular basis. This is something that we should be practicing. So let's look at it here this morning. Paul says here, the first imperative is that we are called to rejoice always. A church that is rejoicing is a happy church. When we were out in Colorado, we had a church that was called the Happy Church. I don't know if you're familiar, ever heard of Marilyn Hickey? Oh, yeah. Her husband was a pastor, and they changed their name to the Happy Church. And so that was the name of their church. So one of the most exhilarating things that we can do is be part of what Jesus Christ is doing. It is something that should excite us. How many know that church should not be depressing? It should be something that hopefully on Sunday morning you look forward to, because you're joining. You're wanting to experience God's presence, but you're also wanting to be with God's people. I hope that's a desire that you have, and that this morning you didn't fight your way to get here and cry about going to church. I believe the church should not be a Charlie Brown church. Amen. How many know that Charlie Brown had good intentions? That everything he tried to do right always kind of turned out the opposite way of what he was hoping? How many know we're not an Eeyore church? That when things are going well, you always are looking for the black lining in a silver cloud. You're looking for something to go wrong, right? That's what a lot of church experience is about. But we need to be a church that sees Jesus in every situation. We need to enjoy being in the presence of God and in gathering together as his people. We know that joy is not based on circumstances. Even though sometimes our happiness and our joy is based on what we're going through, but our eyes are upon Jesus. I like Romans 8:28, and most of you can quote it here this morning. And we know that in all things. All things. You know, sometimes we put an exception there because it depends on what we're going through. You know, we can quote this to other people, but when we're going through things and when we're suffering loss and when we're in a trial, right, we don't like to hear this quoted to us, but we like to quote it to other people. And we know that in all things, God works out for the good. How many know, I liked your statement, God, your statement you made this morning, that God has never said anything bad about you. That kind of registered in my heart this morning. And I like that. You know, even as a husband and wife, you know, we love that individual, but sometimes we kind of don't say some very kind things to one another. But think about it. God doesn't have an unkind word to say about you. That's kind of cool. God works for the good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So some of the things that we're going through in life, we kind of struggle with, but they're for the good and for his purpose. And so we are called to rejoice, not for the circumstances, but within those circumstances. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. And how many know that's a command? All right? It is something we're called to do. Psalms 5:11 says, but let all those who rejoice, who put their trust in you, let them ever, I hope you came in with a shout here today, because no matter what you're going through, it says, let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. How many know God's on your side this morning? I mean, that's a reason to shout this morning. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. Notice it says in. So we need to be connected to the vine here this morning. In him we can experience joy. Psalm 32:11 says, rejoice in the Lord and be glad. You righteous, sing all you who are upright in heart. So we're called to rejoice always. As a church, we are commanded, it is an imperative, it's in our best interest that we kind of have a spirit of rejoicing, a spirit of joy within us. The second imperative that he gave was to pray continually. And this is God's preferred way of communion and communication. If you notice that word communion and communication, it has the word communion in it. And how many know that if you're not in communion with somebody, you're really not communicating with that individual? You're kind of talking at them. And a lot of our prayer life is talking at God. And so we need to commune. God said, I want you to pray. Why? Because I want to hang out with you. I want to talk with you. So when we're communing with them, there's communication going on. How many know that us men, we sometimes have the word saying, I love you. We sometimes have trouble saying that. But we demonstrate that love by doing things for you, providing for you, working for you, doing whatever for you. But there's just something about those words that are powerful to be able to tell your kids that I love you or that I'm proud of you. They are stimulating, they are encouraging and strengthening words. And so while we're in communion, God wants to tell you that he loves you, that he's proud of you, that you're his. So we see that prayer is a very essential element to our faith. It is a tenet of our faith. And what we see here is that prayer helps us in three areas: faith, foolishness, and presumption. How many know that when we pray, our faith grows? We are to pray, what, in the Holy Spirit, that, what, we build ourselves up. We build up our faith in the Holy Spirit as we pray. So we pray because we want to be strengthened in our faith. But we also want to guard against foolishness. How many know that there are a lot of foolish people out there? There are a lot of foolish people in the church that do stupid things and say stupid things. Come on. There are a lot of foolish people out there. Because why? They're not in communion with God. I mean, they're doing weird and crazy things, saying weird things, allowing things in the church, allowing things in their life that should never be in their life. And you have to go back to that communion with God. They must not be praying if that's what they're believing and saying. So it guards us against foolishness, but it also guards us against presumption. How many times we assume on God? We assume that he's going to do something. How many know it says we have not because we asked? We just assume that God's going to do what we think he's going to do without even asking him. And when he doesn't, we get bent out of shape. We get upset. I don't know. In marriage, hopefully before you got married, you went through some counseling. And the purpose of counseling is to kind of get the idea of who that other person is. There's communication that's going on. If you got married and you really didn't know that individual, you were in for a world of discovery and possibly hurt. Because you just assumed that this feeling of lovey-dovey was just going to carry you through. But when you move in and live with somebody, that changes everything. The purpose of counseling is what? To minimize the surprises. Right? Right? Who's going to be the head? Who's going to handle the finances? How many kids do you want? Where do you want to live? All these things play a part in your life, and you've got to know. That's why it's important to be in communication with God. We assume that God's going to do this or do that. But I want to tell you today, don't assume anything. Amen? God's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promises. But don't assume God's going to do what you think he should be doing. It doesn't work that way. When we talk about communication here, we're talking about communion. We're talking about intimacy. And the truth is, we have perverted that word in our culture. When we say intimacy, our mind goes one place. Today, I hope that we have intimacy with people. And I'm probably getting hot water for what I'm about to do. Chris, don't get mad at me. I work on a regular basis with Whitney. And there is an intimacy that is growing. There is a vulnerability. There is a getting to know one another as we work. See where your minds are going? But the same way, if I say, you know, I'm in an intimate relationship with Chris, and your mind's going, oh boy, what we got ourselves into some trouble. See, because we have perverted that word. We have. And God is interested in intimacy, knowing you and you knowing him. He already knows you, so it's not on his part, but it's us in communication and communion with him and getting to know him. It's being intimate. Prayer creates intimacy. Spending time with God. If you ever read Matthew 7, verse 7 and verse 8, you know this. But I want you to look at it today as intimacy. There are levels of intimacy that God wants to have with you. He said, ask and it will be given to you. And so what do? We knock it up a notch, and it says, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And that takes us to Revelation chapter 3:20 that says, behold, I do what? I stand at the door and I knock. And we always put this in when we're leading somebody to Jesus Christ. He wasn't knocking on a sinner's door. He was knocking on the door of the church, saying, I want to have intimacy with you. I want to come in and I want to fellowship with you. I want to dine with you. I want to eat with you and I want to talk to you. That's what the invitation is. And so as you read this scripture in Matthew 7, you see the intimacy growing. So we're not just to ask, we're to begin to seek. We're begin to knock. And for everyone who asks, receives, the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. I don't know how many of you like people knocking at your door when you didn't invite them. It kind of knocks you back, doesn't it? Some of you would open the door wide and say, come on in. And some of you would kind of open the door a crack and say, what do you want? My house is a mess, right? Don't come in. But when we open our door, right, man, you're inviting people to come in, to fellowship. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 talks about we receive when we become intimate with God because why? In intimacy, we learn the will of God. You know, it's not just going to the Bible and saying, picking out a verse saying, I'm gonna pray this verse so I can get this or that or whatever. But it says in verse 14 of John 5, this is the confidence. I hope when you come before God in prayer, it's with confidence, knowing that he has an ear open to your words. We have in approaching God. So there's that invitation that we can come before him. That if we ask, what? That's a big thing. Anything's pretty big, if you ask me. According, then he kind of puts a damper on that condition. According to his will, he does what? He hears us. So if we're asking for foolish things or we're assuming certain things, guess what? The chances of you receiving reply, minimal. It's not going to happen. But if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And listen to what it says in verse 15. And if we know, how many know what God has for you? I mean, really know. Not hope that God has for you, but you know. And if you know that he hears us, and look what he says, whatever. That's a pretty big, that covers a lot of ground. The whatever there. We ask, we know. Do you have that confidence? Do you have that intimacy with God that when you come before him and ask his corn, he's going to actually do it? It's quiet in here. We know that we have what we ask for. I guess I'll move on. It's pretty quiet. So praying continually speaks of intimacy. I hope on the way to church you talk to your wife or your family, your husband or whatever. And I hope on the way home you talk to them again, not about how bad the sermon was. Talk to yourself, right? Me, myself, and I. Right? Intimacy is communication, is communion constantly. And that's what prayer is. So he gives a third imperative. Give thanks in how many circumstances? All circumstances. Wow. All circumstances. It doesn't say for all circumstances, but in all circumstances, we are to give thanks. This is very difficult, but it's very important. I believe the giving of thanks keeps our attitude in check. Thanksgiving helps us be focused on God and not our circumstances. It is a matter of reference. I came across this illustration as I was looking at this message, and I thought it was pretty cool. It says, when we face the sun, the shadows are behind us. When you turn your back on the sun, and the shadows are where? In front of you. So let's change the S-U-N to capital S-O-N. Right? Focusing on him and let the shadows be behind us. I thought that was kind of cool. Psalm 104. 100 and verse 4 is an invitation for us. How many know when you want to get into a place, it says enter, right? There's a lot of people exiting out of the church, out of a relationship with Jesus Christ, but it says enter. So you're invited. Come in this way. Into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. So when you entered in this morning, I hope you came with a heart of thanksgiving, with a heart of expectancy, a heart of just saying, you know, I'm glad I'm here to be a part of what God's doing. enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And then it says, be thankful. It's a state of being. Be thankful. It's not something we do. It's something we are. We are thankful people. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I believe if we do these things, we are fulfilling the will of God. And that's what we read here, looking at verse 19. What's interesting about these imperatives is that what follows them is, do not quench the spirit. And if you look it up in a commentary, they attach it to the next three verses, which talk about despising prophecy, proving all things, and abstaining from all appearances of evil. But I want to look at it here this morning as a conjunction between the first three verses, those verses we just read, and the following three. That we are called to rejoice, we are called to pray, we are called to give thanks. And if we don't, I believe what we're doing is we're quenching the Spirit of God in our lives. Without these three imperatives operating in our lives, our relationship with God turns to something that is dry, something that is empty. It turns into religion. It is a relationship. It's not just something we do. It's not our duty. But it's having a personal relationship and communing with the God of heaven. So let me encourage you here today to practice being, number one, a happy church. And how many know that everyone, and I mean everyone, is in the pursuit of happiness? They are. Even our forefathers, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, wrote these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are what? Created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with uncertain and inalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's godliness. Happiness is godliness. It's something that God desires for us. We should be making people want what we have. I hope you're a person that rejoices. I hope you're a person that the joy of the Lord just kind of overflows, that makes them want what you have, that makes them ask, what have you been smoking? What are you on? What are you taking? Can I have that pill? And you can say, yes, the gospel, right? Hallelujah. Bad, huh? So a happy church, right? People should see that you're different, that no matter what's going on around us, no matter what you're going through, they can see that you're a person of rejoicing, a person full of joy. And I guarantee they're going to ask, what's going on? How can you be so happy? A praying church. One of the ways we work out our faith in fear and trembling is by praying. And prayer is work sometimes. Sometimes it's a joy. Sometimes it comes easy. Sometimes it comes as a necessity in our lives because we have nowhere else to go. But it is work. It is something that we have to set aside and just make time for. You see, our desire as a church is to witness the demonstration of the power and presence of God. I hope you came here today because you wanted to be in the presence of God and that you want to see God doing something. You know, we not only want to feel something, but we want to see something. We don't want to just come and say, ooh, that was good. Ooh. That felt good. But at the same time, we want to see something. We don't just want to see something, we want to feel something. And we put such an emphasis on faith that we've got rid of the feeling. How many know love is a feeling? I love when God touches me. I love the feeling. Yeah, I want to see God work. I want to see God have people get saved. I want to see people deliver. I want to see people baptized. We're going to see. I want to see those things. But man, sometimes we just need to feel it too. When we feel it, it becomes more real than just cold faith. It's just not a fact, but it becomes personal to us. A praying church. It's an imperative, something important to us. A thankful church. It's a church that counts their blessings. Remember that hymn? Count your blessings. Name them one by one and see what the Lord has done. You know, when we were in Bible college, you know, we didn't have much. We had a nice home. It was a nice apartment. But we didn't have a whole lot to put in the apartment. We didn't have a vacuum. We didn't have a phone. We actually had to borrow her cousin's vacuum to vacuum our house. All I had was a dustbuster. You can only dustbust so much without any deep cleaning. But there was times of discouragement that we lived from pay to pay. We were bus drivers, and the purpose we were there was to go to Bible college, not to have a good job and not to have money. And so we survived on just driving the money that we earned from driving a school bus. And there was one day that I was really discouraged because, you know, I hate to say this, but our cousins just lived across the field, and they were living it up pretty good. And, you know, sometimes jealousy can seep in and rob you of the joy. And so we got a hymn book. I opened it up to that song, Count Your Blessings, and we read through those verses. And I had to pray through. Why were we there? What was important? It was to get our eyes back on Him, being thankful for what we had. When we're thankful for what we have, it's called contentment. It is. Let's stop focusing on what we don't have and be thankful for the things we do have. And I believe as we become a thankful church, it makes us more appreciative. And it causes us to want to serve more. Paul said, I'm a debtor to all men because of what Jesus Christ has done to me. I don't know if you hold that view or not, but that's a good place to be. Freely we have received, freely we give. Father, we just pray today as we kind of get ready to just maybe share a little bit. Allow others to share. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God, and we named three areas of rejoicing, a person that's full of joy, a person that just is in love with Jesus and just wants to praise Him and exalt Him. Maybe you're a person today that's struggling in the area of prayer, and it's just, there's no communion there. And there's no communication. Maybe it just seems like it's one way that I'm just giving and I'm not hearing back from God. Or maybe today that you've allowed circumstances to rob you of your contentment, of your joy, of your peace. I just want to tell you today that He has something incredible for you. With your heads bowed, who would be honest today and just say, in one of these areas, at least one of these areas that I'm kind of struggling with? How many raise their hand real quick and put it down? Okay. A good portion of us in here. And it's true that we can be all these things, a happy church, a praying church, a thankful church, a happy person, a praying person, a thankful person. Father, we come to You today, and I just pray for this church today that, Lord, that these attributes will be something that becomes real to us. They're not just something, God, we talk about or know about in the back of our mind, or they're for other people. But, Lord, we want these for ourselves. And it begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're away from Jesus Christ this morning, make a way towards Him this morning. This morning, confess your sins. Come to Him this morning and just say, Lord, forgive me. 1 John 1:9 says what? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. If you're in that place today that maybe you blew it this past week, maybe you're in a place of condemnation and you've allowed the devil just to kind of have a hold on you because you messed up, today's the day to get released from that. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, or you walked away from a relationship with Jesus Christ and you let it grow cold. Can you renew that this morning in this place, right now, that you can go into this thankful season? Thank you, Jesus. I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus. I'm filled. Thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus. I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. Make that commitment today. But I pray for those here today that raised their hand, and Lord, there's an area in their lives, Lord, that they just want to see improve, Lord. And it takes an action on our part, Lord, because Paul says these are commandments. These are imperatives. These are for our best interest, that we do these things. They're for our own soul keeping. They're for our own upkeep. They're for our own benefit, that we are these type of people. And so I pray today, Lord, that you will help them. Give them an endowment of the Spirit of God. We have the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy. Joy, joy. It's ours. A praying church. It's just setting some time, a commitment to Him, and just spending some time with Him. And beginning to look around you and begin to thank Him. As you're driving down the highway, saying, thank you for my vehicle, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my job. Thank you, Lord, that I have money to go to the store. Thank you, Lord, for our wonderful homes. Thank you that they're heated. We thank you, Lord, for just so many things, God. Help us just to be those type of people, Lord, that we count our blessings and we begin to name them one and by one and allow your contentment just to grab a hold of our hearts, that we're content, because if we have you, we have everything. And we read it in those scriptures, Lord, that whatever we ask, whatever we ask in you, according to your will, you said you would do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for such incredible promises that are ours here today. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We just want to give you that opportunity. We encouraged you ahead of time. Maybe you have something you'd like to share. Just a quick testimony. Maybe something that going into this holiday season to be thankful for. You're going to have to use.
I thank God because 2 years ago yesterday, my grandson was born. He was 1 pound, 13.9 ounces in the flesh. Didn't look like he had any chance at all. But God is faithful. I don't know why he chose to save our grandson when in that NICU others didn't make it. But he did. And even better, there is another one coming that is, she's now 31 weeks. So God is good. God is faithful. And I weep because there's so many things that we have to be thankful for. God is good all the time, even when we don't see it.
So mine is about my grandson also. Many of you know that 2 weeks ago he had dislocated a vertebrae in his neck, and everybody prayed diligently for him, and Friday, he went and got an x-ray, and he's out of the neck brace, and he doesn't even have to do physical therapy. They're going to MRI him in a year to make sure that everything is growing correctly. So just an absolute miracle on that aspect. And then also, concerning grandchildren, many of you know for years we prayed for my daughter because I was told when she was 16 that she would never carry children. And she has Graham and Violet, and Graham's pregnancy was rough. And then, of course, we got Violet through just an absolute miracle. And she just had her MRI this week with our baby girl that is so incredibly healthy. And surprisingly enough, if you look at the MRI, she looks like Violet, even in utero. So, you know, what a blessing. And, that you know, there are many people who prayed before Hannah was ever even married that she would have babies, and we're getting lots. So, yeah, so just what a miracle, and just thank you all for the prayers. So.
Well, I'm praying that God had saved me and Cindy. We went through the COVID, and God's hand was on us. I give him praise, but we was... Me and Cindy had it both at the same time. But 4 or 5 days later after we had it, we went to the doctor. And we was both pretty sick. I mean, it put both of us down. I never had something so bad in our life as this. But God had his hand upon it. And we didn't understand why we went through this, because we prayed for this protection upon us, our family, and our grandchildren. But his ways are higher than our ways. We had to trust him. But the words I got from my doctor was, when we went in, she said, "You're immune to this. But I'm immune by the precious blood of Jesus Christ that saved his soul, saved my wife." And thank God that we made it through this. It kept me and Cindy out of the hospital. But I lost a month's work out of this. But you know, God provided for my family. He was there every step. And I thank you for the prayers of the church, because if it wasn't for that, I don't know where we'd be. But I thank God for he's kept us safe and provided for me and my family. Thank you.
I just want to thank you for being a praying church. And I know we've all gone through things this year that have been hard. But because we're a praying church, God takes us through. And I just thank the Lord that my husband's here. Brought him through second heart attack and 3 stent surgeries. And he's with us and he's healthy. I thank you.
Don't get the hook, because this is going to take a little bit longer. But Cindy gave me her time, so I've got twice. She did. Anyway, I have 2 wonderful testimonies. I've asked God to provide divine appointments, and he has been so faithful. This summer, I had bought something on Facebook, and I was... I got a call saying, "Meet me in Butler and we'll exchange what you bought for the money." And I said, "Okay, fine." So I took off. I was to meet her. And all of a sudden, I'm partway, toward town. And I get a call saying, "I'm sorry, but we got company and they want to go out to dinner. And so we'll have to make another appointment." And I thought, okay, we can do that, but I'm on my way, and so I'm just going to go on downtown and look around and wind up at the dollar store somewhere. So I did that, and I was coming up around and coming down Main Street toward the bridge, and I saw this woman coming. It looked like she had walked across the bridge. She had a backpack on, and she was carrying, it looked like, a bunch of clothes. Her hair was all disheveled. She looked like she'd been crying. And I said, "God, she needs you." And he said, "Yes, she does. I want you to go talk to her." And I said, "Okay." So I'm at the bridge. I go across the bridge. I go down. I turn around. I come back. And I said, "What do you want me to say?" And he said, "You tell her how much I love her." I've never seen this lady before. When I came back, she was sitting in front of the high rise on one of those benches. Now, come on. I'm not supposed to be there. So anyway, I parked the car in front of her, and I got out, and I said, "I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but God told me that he has a message for you. I know you don't know me. I don't know you." And she said, "Okay." And I said, "He just wants to tell you how much he loves you." She absolutely lost it. She broke down and cried. She said, "You don't know how long I have been praying for someone to speak to me, to my situation." She said, "All I can see is me hanging from a tree." And so I rebuked the spirit of suicide. I didn't know anything about her. But I said, "Would you mind if I prayed for you?" And we started to pray. And I said, would you like to give your life to the Lord because he loves you? And she said, I want that more than anything. And so I led her to the Lord on Main Street. She wouldn't have been there except that she was coming to town where her son's dad is, and he was driving like an idiot. Hers were her words. And she said, stop, I'm getting out. I am not driving with you anymore. And that's why she was walking. So she wasn't supposed to be there. I wasn't supposed to be there, but we were both there. And I just praise God for that. So here's my second testimony. Hey, give God a hand. Give God a praise for that. Wow. So anyway, the second one was my roof was leaking on my bed and on the carpet. And I guess we'd had a really bad storm and some of the shingles had come, you know, loose. So anyway, I'm back on Facebook trying to find somebody that would fix my roof. Nobody answered. And I was giving up. And so I put the pan down and I put the plastic down. And I thought, well, okay, I'll just have to deal with it. And then I got a text from this company. They said, oh, this is really bad. You don't want to deal with this. You need to, you know, we need to come down and fix that up for you. So I said, okay. Well, it was a beautiful day, so I took a ride in the mule. And when I came back, my neighbors were coming out on the road and saying, is somebody supposed to be up on your roof? And I said, I don't know why. They said, well, there are two guys up on your roof. So I said, oh, okay, maybe that's who I was talking to. So, yes, it was. Two young men, 21 and 24, were there fixing my roof, looking around for things that they could do. So these guys came down, and you should have heard the stuff that came out of their mouth. They were so sweet, but their vocabulary was a little out of, and it was just, I said, wait a minute. Let's clean that up a little bit. So they laughed, and they said, oh, yes. And the one guy calls me Miss Beth. So he said, Miss Beth, I'm not going to talk that way anymore around you, and I'm sorry. So anyway, they fixed the roof and so on. And I asked God, give me an opportunity to talk to them, if this is your will. So when they were all done, I had them come in the house to write out the final check. And they were sitting in a couch opposite each other. And the one boy started telling me about his grandfather. And he said, you know what? My grandfather told me when I was little, he said, there's a guy over here. He's got millions and millions of dollars, beautiful car, beautiful house. He doesn't do anything for anybody good. And then there's a guy over here. He has a broken down truck, and he lives in an apartment, and he doesn't have the rent money, but he has a tool belt, and he'll help anybody. And he said, that's who I want you to be. And he said, that's who I want me to be. And he said, I'm so glad that we were able to get together. So I just started talking to him about the Lord and things, and I said, would you like to know Jesus as your Savior? I mean, where'd that come from? And he literally leaped off the couch and said, that's what I need, and I want it now. And he looked at his friend over here, and he said, Justin, you need this too. Get up. So we prayed, and I led them both to the Lord, and we're still keeping in touch with both of these people. And I just give God all the praise, because that's so good.
Who wants to follow that? Anybody else we don't want to?
I have a pretty cool one, too. I've worked with children all my life in jobs and situations, and just in like July, I just felt like God stopped that and called me to do something else. And I started working with some elderly clients as a caregiver. And the one lady is 82 years old. And I was praying for her for healing. She was allowing me to pray for her. I'd lay hands on her when I put her to bed, and anytime she had pain in her body, I'd pray for her. And the family seemed amazed by that. And then I was asking God, why am I not seeing more healing happening? And, you know, the Bible says you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And we need to believe that. And so I was asking God, and a Sunday morning I was getting ready for church, and I felt like God spoke to me and said, she needs to be under my covenant. And I thought, oh, she's not saved. I don't want to break the confidentiality, but, you know, I know her daughter. Her daughter loves the Lord. And so I thought, oh, she's not saved. So I went to the daughter and I said, is your mom not saved? And she goes, no, every time we've tried to tell her she needs to accept Jesus into her life, she swears at us. And so so I waited 3 or 4 days praying, and I was singing Jesus Loves Me with her because she liked to sing. And I said, you know, Jesus wants to come live in your heart, and so you're ready for heaven. And she got huffy with me, but she didn't swear at me. Well, then we're doing this Bible study. Linda Hansford is leading it, and it's a book called 4 Keys to Hearing God, God's Voice. And so I sat down one morning before I was going to work the next day, and I said, you know, God, how can I minister to this woman, you know, this family? And I felt it's, you know, make yourself still before God, see yourself with Jesus, focus your eyes on Jesus, allow God to open the eyes of your heart to see him, and then listen for words and journal them, just like the Old Testament. Anyway, I felt like God told me, and I wrote it down, to take authority over demonic voices, command them to be silent, command any demonic activity out of the home, and he also said, take the pressure off yourself and place it on me. And I thought, oh, okay, well, God can do what we can't. Isn't that amazing? And so I went to work that day, and I did it. It was a Wednesday. I did those things, and I didn't see any change. Went to work again the next day, Thursday, and I did those things. I took her to the bathroom one time and brought her back to the chair, and all of a sudden she sat down, and she just had these huge tears rolling down her face and said, I just want to die. I don't understand why God won't let me die. And she had never done this before. And I said, oh, honey, he wants his peace and joy to come inside. He wants to come live in your heart. He wants his peace and joy inside of you so that you're ready to meet heaven. And, you know, go to heaven. And she said, yes, yes. And she just let me pray for her and agreed with, came into agreement with everything I said. And all I can figure is that demonic voices are deceptive. You know, they can prop you up and say, you don't need God. You don't need that. You know, and so when I commanded those voices to be silent, all of a sudden she felt a need. She was vulnerable. And she, it was just amazing what God did. I can't take credit. Her family prayed for her for years. And it was just amazing. He did it. Took the pressure off of me, and he did it.
All right, anybody else? Some of you are looking at your watches. Appreciate those who testified. And did you want to? Yeah? That's okay. I forgot to talk you into it. I know you.
When we were talking about doing a day like this, I was thinking, you know, all my life when somebody said, Whitney, will you share your testimony, my mind went to tragedy, my dad, you know, losing my dad at such a young age, and all the things that I've gone through since. But I've learned that, like, our testimony, it just is, it's a progressive thing. My testimony is not just tragedy anymore. It's all the times that, like, God has literally showed such goodness to me. When Donna Barkley called me right before my wedding and goes, there's a meat truck and it wrecked and they have all this good meat and they can't do anything with it. Can you use it for your wedding? I tried to get a hold of 3 food banks and nobody was answering. And I got how many pounds of? 200 pounds of chicken, free chicken for my wedding. People. And then, you know, this year when Chris and I, we felt like we were supposed to start looking for a home and a house. And, you know, we had rented for 5 years, and it was a good situation, really great, really good situation. But we were just starting to, you know, want more room and things like that. And everyone said, don't even think about it in this market. Don't even, I mean, like, they're driving the prices way up. Every time we would call about a house, they would be like, there's already 12 offers on it, you know? And we're like, oh, and I said to Chris, this is never going to happen. And God did it. God did it for us. And he gave us a house, and it was $16,000 less than asking price. And nobody else was even shown the house. It was our house. And I told the ladies at prayer group, I had my eye on a different house. And we were believing for that house. And there was a disappointment because it didn't work out. And now I look at the house that God gave us, and it's so much better than the one I had my eye on. He's faithful and he's good. And our testimonies aren't just tragedy. It's God's goodness all over your lives. And we're thankful.
I won't look to my wife, so amen. Amen. We're going to close it out so you guys can go home and celebrate Thanksgiving. So, but we encourage you, just begin to think about the blessings that God has poured into your life. Be thankful. I mean, it's incredible the lives that we have, the things that we have, the people that God's put in our life. I mean, that's probably more important than anything we can own. We have ushers at this time. The challenge is to give one day's wages to feed those. You saw the video. You saw the dumps. It's a reality for a lot of people. They go and scour the dumps to get plastic or whatever out to recycle to eat for that day. And we've seen it firsthand. We've even been in Mexico, down into the dumps where they have homes, right in the middle of the dump. So this is a reality, and One Day to Feed the World is an opportunity for us to give out of our abundance, and I'm going to say abundance, to just bless somebody that needs it. Father, we close this service out, Lord, by giving an offering to you, a love offering, Lord, in behalf of somebody else that really, truly needs it, Father. Coming into the holiday season, and Lord, the truth is we're going to be getting a lot of stuff that we really probably don't even need. But there are those, Lord, that do need something just the essentials for everyday living. And so, Lord, this is just one of those opportunities that we have to give. We do pray for Danny, Lord, and Lord, the medical situation there is not anything like compared to here in the States. And we're grateful, Lord, that you have been working in him, but Lord, we're praying for divine healing, Lord. We're believing, Lord, whether those things were fractured and you healed them or not, whatever, we're just praying for the hand, we're praying for the vertebrae, Lord. We continue to pray that you will be his physician, his great physician, that you will be his provider, that you will be his doctor, that you will supply his needs. And so, Lord, we do lift them up to you, and we're just believing, God, that, Lord, what we've seen you begin, you're going to finish in Jesus' name. So, Lord, as we go out today, Lord, after we give this offering, we just pray your blessing upon your people. We pray for a joyous Thanksgiving holiday, Lord, with friends and family. And we just pray, Lord, that you will just allow your grace to remind us of how blessed we are. And we just give you the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a reminder of a few things as we're closing out. Next Sunday is Mission Sunday. The following Sunday after that, we have our banquet. We'll have it here. The following week after that, we're going to have a baptismal service. So we've got a lot of things going, a lot of things to celebrate, and just be thankful for. Remember, no Tuesday night, all right, this week. And on the 5th of December, we're going to start Sunday school. So we're encouraging you to make plans. Come and be part of it. All right. Amen. Thank you for your patience today. And I believe we need to hear what the Lord's doing. Amen.
Jesus, we love you.
Greet one another and just love on one another this morning. Test one. We do have a ring up here if anybody is missing a ring. A butterfly ring.
To do.